Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, good Monday to you, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. I guess it's good if you're an Eagles fan or a Chargers fan, a Cowboys fan, Indianapolis fan. I guess if you're, you know, the other teams that played this weekend, not so much, especially if you're a Bears fan. There is nothing more lonely than a kicker in the National Football League. I mean, kickers in college, too, but the kickers in the National Football League. You're winning these games or you're losing these games. And all these kickers say, you know, hey, when I get up there, it's my job. I want it. I've been dreaming my whole life. Do they ever think about how they would react if they ever missed a field goal and let down a city? Do they ever go through the psychological analysis of, okay, what if one day I should go out there and get iced and then kick the ball and it would hit the upright / crossbar and land on the field and I would let a whole city down? 17 weeks of the season, your team is playing games, your team is winning games, it starts to look decent, you start to look really good, you got a home field playoff game against a team, albeit the Super Bowl champions, but you know, not the same exact team that won the Super Bowl last year, and they line you up out there and they go, go at it, kid, go out there and kick that field goal, and you line it up and you kick it and it's good. And there's a minute of relief, right? Like, oh God, I won the game. But no, the other coach iced you, called timeout, now you got to kick it again. Now, a lot of times, and this is kind of where I think, like, the icing doesn't work. I never want to give a kicker a second chance at kicking a ball. I know that there is arguments for and plus, you know, the for and against icing a kicker, but I never want to give a professional athlete, a professional kicker, a chance to re-kick a it's like giving a golfer another putt, right? They miss a putt a little too on the high side, bam, they're going to make the next one. So if you give a kicker a second chance, I always am under the impression that they'll make it, right? Like they'll go, oh, no. You know what? Next, I got this now. I had the jitters the first time, but now I'm going to just blast this thing. And he missed it. The Bears lose and the Eagles win. And that's how that one ends. We'll get to the Chargers and Ron Culver's day in the watching the NFL yesterday, watching his team beat the Baltimore Ravens. Plus the games on Saturday. It's all coming up on SB Nation AM.
If you don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion, then head over to GiftingMap.com. The team at GiftingMap has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit GiftingMap.com today. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Are we going to send Cody Parkey any gifts, Ron Culver, for to cheer him up after missing that field goal yesterday?
I think he's
going to send him something, right?
He needs a hug. I think that's all he really needs. He needs a hug. One of those hugs that change your day.
That makes you go, oh my gosh, somebody cares about me.
Yeah.
Somebody cares about me. He's walking off the field yesterday and the Bears fans boo him. Of course they booed him.
That was disgraceful, man.
I know, it's bad. It's a bad look. But it's hard, though, because you're, as a fan, like I said, there's nothing quite painful like a playoff loss in the NFL. Because there's no game two, right? There's no way to respond to it. Like, that's it. You're done. And everything you've built up for. Because the one thing about this league, which is great, is that, you know, when you follow the NFL, you get a game on Sunday, so you spend like almost a whole week, right? All right, are we going to be able to win this game, or what's the matchups I'm looking for? You know, Thursday night and Monday night games, obviously shorter and a little bit longer, but nevertheless, you get this whole week of buildup. Then you play the game and then you win or you lose. And then you're adjusting your playoff look, right? And then all of a sudden you catch a little fire or you start winning some games, you start looking good and you start looking complete. And then so the visions of Super Bowl championships start dancing in your head and you think to yourself, okay, this is, I really like my chances. We're going into the postseason. Oh, sure, anything can happen, but you know, we're at home and I really, and then boom, it's over and it's over quick. And it's, there's no way to process it. It's not like baseball where you've had if you were eliminated, if you went seven games, you kind of know the deal going into a seven game series. And if you get eliminated before that, the team has been letting you down up until that point. You can play really well and still lose a football game. Yeah. And then that's it. There's nothing you can do about it.
Like to that
so
point.
When your kicker goes out, yeah, misses, that's it. It's over. Bears fans just emotionally drained out. They can't take it. Yes, it's a bad look to boo this kid. He missed a field goal. It cost him the game. But a Bears fan sitting in the stands like, wow, how else am I supposed to? I can't think rationally right now.
See, I don't mind the ones in the stands, and I don't mind the immediate reaction. The ones that bother me are the ones who take to Twitter afterwards.
Slow down.
Dude, you've had time to think about this. Now you're just like, now you're just tweeting out just to tweet out. You're just you're doing it for, it's a clickbait thing now. Let me say something so outrageous that somebody else is going to like it or retweet it.
I used to be very critical of Michael Wilbon because he's a Chicago fan, and he used to go on PTI years later and rip Steve Bartman. And I used to think that was weak. Like, it was one thing when it was happened, but after everybody calmed down a little bit, there's no need to rip Steve Bartman anymore, right? I mean, we tend to just jump on these kind of things and think it's cool, but it's not cool. It looks stupid. So poor Cody Parkey. They did this. Remember when Scott Norwood missed that field goal of the Super Bowl, and the Bills had like a rally, and the Bills fans gave him like a huge ovation and like a big thank you. And I mean, they had time obviously to settle down after the miss, but it was probably one of the most class acts I've seen in sport from a sports fan base, you know, embracing Scott Norwood. I don't know if they'll ever do this to poor Cody Parkey, but I mean, it's so sad to think like you've had this year where, man, the Bears were like a team kind of on the rise. Mitch Trubisky was the problem, but the defense wasn't the problem. And now it's done. It's finished. And the Eagles are moving on to face the New Orleans Saints at the Superdome this weekend. Let's get to the Chargers, man. So I went to go run an errand and I came back and the Ravens were in the game. Yeah. And the reason I went to run the errand is because the Ravens were not in the game.
Listen, I was feeling really good. We're at the start of the fourth quarter. It's 23-3. And I'm like, this is, and everything leading up to that was, you know, the Chargers were playing. I mean, actually, be honest, the Chargers played their game the entire way through.
And they did.
And, you know, their game is very slow. Let's take every second off that the game clock as much as possible before we snap the ball. And they were doing that. They were methodical. It's like down to 3 seconds, 2 seconds. There was a couple of times like, dude, are you going to hike the ball? They're going to throw a flag. Come on. And it's very nerve-wracking to watch that every single time. But I don't know if we were getting lucky or if the pressure was just too much for Lamar Jackson at that moment. And I'm not saying, I mean, Lamar Jackson had a really bad half, but I'm not saying I'm not saying he had a bad game. I mean, definitely the nerves got the best of him. And even I was drinking the Kool-Aid with the rest of Twitter's veer going, hey, they got to put in Joe Flacco.
Oh, I was totally doing that. Are you kidding me? Because I go back to
calm it down,
just to slow it down. And listen, you said earlier, this is it, right? You can hang on a principle for only so long, but if that principle is going to cost you a spot advancing in the postseason, abandon it and just win the game and then figure it all out later. I don't think that Harbaugh was, you know, hey, look, if I put Flacco in and we win the game, it's going to be, I think he really did believe Lamar Jackson was going to come back, but he got sacked 7 times in this game, and credit the Chargers defense because the Chargers Georgia's defense, short on linebacker, was going with defensive, a lot of defensive backs in this game
all
to just contain
backs.
Speed, right? Every defensive back. You to contain speed, right? Because that's where Lamar Jackson can beat you. That's where, you know, pick up a first down here. Third and long, he can move with his feet. So you put more speedy guys out. A lot of it is because of necessity, but nevertheless, still a brilliant strategy by the Chargers to contain Lamar Jackson in this game. And listen, nobody likes field goals, and they kicked a bunch of them. But in a playoff game like this, where it's defense versus defense, and that's kind of the story of the game, take points where you can get it. And I give the Chargers a ton of credit because they didn't try to get greedy. They didn't say, oh, you know what, let's go for it here. Nope, they just were like, you know what, send the kicker out there, get these points, and let's get out of here.
Yeah, every single time. And I mean,
every single time.
And fortunately for the Chargers now, they actually have a kicker that can do it.
Yes,
they
do.
They had a kicker for so long. I remember last year, what was it, Young Wei Kim? Whose name spelled like Young Ho, but it was Young Wei or something like that. And, you know, I mean, he was, God bless him, he did a great job in the preseason. As soon as real games happened, he just couldn't find the uprights at all. It was all over the place. And, you know, just to see this, like, I guess them just mature in the kicker position, finally find someone, a young kid too, who
and I don't
is
know.
Building more confidence.
I don't know why Romo kept bringing up the wind. It didn't seem all that windy down there. And he was like, oh, he's got a swirling breeze. Yeah. He's blasting him right through the uprights.
He made it feel like it was Candlestick.
Yes, he did. You know, and they would show the wind graphic, and it would be like 2.5 miles an hour. And I'm like, where does he think this game is being played?
Yeah,
and Bagley would get up there, blast it right through the middle. And I'm like, oh, apparently there's not a big breeze kicking
I'm expecting,
and blowing the ball left to right.
I'm expecting the ball to look more like a knuckleball from time to time.
Yeah, exactly. No, it wasn't that bad at all. He was kicking them. I mean, and that's. And by the way, and I will say this, and I think this is no knock on the Ravens because the comeback was cool and Lamar Jackson was showing some signs of life. I'm sorry, I don't think that Ravens team, as good as they are defensively, I would have been very skeptical of their ability to go to Foxborough and beat the Patriots.
Oh,
but
I
do not have that feeling with the Chargers. I think they can go to Foxborough, and I think they will beat the Patriots in Foxborough. I think this team's got some good swagger, and they don't mind going on the road. They don't mind the fact that it's going to be a five-hour flight. They don't care.
Who said it? I don't know if I read it or heard it, that they were 13-4 on the road this year.
Yeah, I mean they don't care where it is. They don't care what time zone it is. They're good, and they're gonna. And I think they have a very good chance of beating New England. And I didn't feel the same way watching the Baltimore Ravens. I didn't feel the same way. And I think the Ravens defense is great, and it's legit.
And
it's for real.
And for the sake of, I don't know what we'd call it, fun. That's a generic term. We all need the Chargers and Colts to win.
Yeah, right. I mean, this is
because you know what happens next.
What happens next?
Colts and Chargers win. AFC Championship at StubHub.
That's correct. We'll see. That can still happen. That is correct. That's what we've been talking about. Whether or not the NFL is going to have it in that very small, tiny, cozy stadium for their big AFC showdown. It's so funny, too, because it's like, that's where the Chargers are home. Well, not really. All right. So not really. Okay. I mean, this is, you know, I don't think you're going to be.
Colts fan will travel.
Yeah, Colts fan will travel pretty good. Anyway, the Chargers beat the Ravens 23-17. Lamar Jackson. God bless Harbaugh for sticking with them, though. I mean, they had a chance until he fumbled it away at the end.
It felt like one of those games, like, even though I know it's not in the realm of possibility, but it was like, oh, if he sticks with Lamar Jackson and they lose and they continue to get blown out, John Harbaugh's going to get fired.
Oh, I know.
There was nothing going on
offensively.
Weird.
Yeah, it was strange. It was, and he stuck with them, and it almost paid off. It almost paid off. 800-777-2907 is the number. Do you want to join us this morning? We'll talk some more NFL. Cowboys win. We also have the Colts in a dominating game against the Texans. I was a little surprised by that. I thought that was going to be the best game of the weekend. Actually, was not the best game of the weekend. 800-777-2907. You can also hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver, and that is Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you can be with us, SB Nation AM, rolling along on a Monday as we break down the four games over the weekend in the NFL playoffs. Also, we'll be looking ahead to tonight's Alabama-Clemson matchup. Good seats still available in Santa Clara, California, for you to watch national championship quality football tonight. The Indianapolis Colts beat the Texans 21-7, and as I said earlier today, that's the thing about the playoffs in the national football. It's like March Madness, right? You have a great season, and then boom, you meet a hot shooting 3-point team out of nowhere, and next thing you know, you're going home. It's the same thing here. You get all riled up about an 0-3 start for the Texans, and then they start winning games, win 9 in a row, they lose to the Colts, but they end up winning the division. All right, so they got to play the Colts again for the third time. That game wasn't even close. And the Colts right now is a 6 seed, and it's a little off. Let's be honest. It's 6 seed in the AFC. You could still be a really great team because the Chargers had the 5th seed, and it was either going to be the Chargers or the Chiefs. So one of the wild card spots was going to be taken by one of the premier teams of the conference. So the Colts ended up being a very, very decent, 10-6 football team that started 1-5 and then ripping wins off. They are now being labeled as the team nobody wants to play right now. And for good reason. Andrew Luck's been fantastic. And that was a real beatdown of the Texans. And I thought this was going to be the game of the weekend, to be honest with you.
So did I.
I really did. And it's not surprising that the Colts won. I probably would have picked the Colts push come to shove. But it was surprising in just how efficient they were, and whoop, there you go. We're done. We're leaving. We're up 21-0. The Texans get a late touchdown to make it, 21-7, but that's all they needed. That's it. That's all the Colts needed. The Colts didn't even score in the second half of the game. That's all they needed. And Andrew Luck with 2 touchdowns and an interception. Marlon Mack had like 150 yards rushing.
And I noticed a lot of people, pointing to, there was questionable calls. Blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
Yeah, no
but
doubt.
But you know what? It's like, I don't think those calls would have mattered.
I don't either.
If they went the other way, if they went the way we were thinking, it wouldn't have mattered. They would have
no.
The Colts, Captain Andrew Luck is on a march of destiny, as
no
I've read
kidding.
On his Twitter timeline.
Now, is it because a lot of Philip Rivers is getting, of course, had been getting a lot of scrutiny because he's part of the 2004 draft class that had never played in a Super Bowl. Andrew Luck is in his 7th season. Is it too late or too early to be starting that conversation? He didn't miss a year due to a shoulder injury.
I would say it's a little too early just because of that. What he was like, his shoulder was like degenerative nerve issue or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it was destroyed.
Couldn't throw a ball. Couldn't even like pick it up or something. So
and
yeah,
now he's
whipping
it around.
Yeah, I think it's too early for us to skew him. I'm curious to see what's going to happen this weekend. I mean, he's going up against the Chiefs, arguably. I mean, the best team in the league. They've been red hot, but we were talking about in the last segment how we trust Rivers a little bit more than anybody else right now. I almost trust Luck over Mahomes.
Yeah, I think so too. This is an interesting game because the Colts, I mean, listen, both teams are pretty hot, but the Colts are on fire. I mean, they are on fire.
They're moving the ball any which way they want. I mean, they can do it on the ground. They're doing it in the air. It didn't matter. Texans have a great defense, especially they have a great front four, a front seven. And, it was like, we'll just let Marlon Mack run. I mean, the Texans hadn't given up a 100-yard rusher all season long.
Yeah.
Until Saturday, and then give up almost nearly 150 yards.
Yeah, and going with that game, the Colts have won 10 of 11. The only anomaly on their schedules is 6-0 loss to Jacksonville that came out of nowhere. Frank Reich, many remember is the comeback guy with the Buffalo Bills. He has been, listen, they struggled early. Then they put together a winning streak against some pretty bad teams, but nevertheless a winning streak nonetheless. And now they are the hottest team. They are, and again, the 6th seed nobody wants to play, the team nobody wants to play. And again, going up against a Kansas City team that's been very, very, very good all year with hardly any bad losses on their schedule. I don't think they have any bad losses on their schedule. But yet, something about Andrew Luck right now, I'm trusting more than Patrick Mahomes. And it's tough to say for a guy who threw 50 touchdowns this season. I mean, it's really hard to say. And so it's looking good in the AFC. Like, these two games are going to be just good matchups. Really good, entertaining matchups.
Entertaining.
I was thinking about the Chargers and the Patriots, right? And obviously, there's all these memories from the last time the Chargers went out to play in New England.
Torn ACL. Torn ACL.
On a bad wheel. Gutsing it out. And a close game. A pretty close game. And I started thinking, that was 11 years ago. It feels like 11 years ago. It feels like a long time ago.
It feels like centuries.
Yeah. I mean, I remember where I was, and I remember like all the things that have happened since then. I mean, yeah, Rivers was like, I was 26 then. But think about this. In 2007, that game that felt so long ago, Brady and the Patriots were already a three-time Super Bowl dynasty. I mean, that's how long this guy's been in the league. A game that feels like 1,000 years ago, Brady was like, oh, yeah, but game, they were already three-time Super Bowl champions.
I'm watching the Chargers with my son yesterday, and he happened to make this comment to me, and I don't know if I should feel old about it or not, because they were talking about the two quarterbacks. It was late in the Chargers game. You know, you can tell the Chargers are going to win it. I think it was like, you know, towards the, after the strip fumble.
Right.
That set up the the victory formation for the Chargers. Then they were talking about how, you know, Luck, two young quarterbacks are playing in the on one side of the AFC, and then two aging quarterbacks, veteran quarterbacks, that we like to say, were playing on the other side. And they actually threw out the age, and when they said that Tom Brady was 41, my son, my oldest, turned to me and goes, wow, Dad, he's your age. He's still playing. It's not that I'm like, all right, should I feel old for saying that? Or, yes, guys my age can still do it.
Yeah. No, yeah.
I don't know which way to take it.
I don't know. Feel good. That's the way I feel about, like, Mickelson in golf. Like, every time he goes out there and plays and wins or does something good, I'm always like, yeah, good one for the old man. Yeah, you reach a point with some of these athletes, and usually it's golf, because not a lot of guys play in their 40s in any other sport.
Right, because the same token, I'm looking at Bagley yesterday, which, by the way, he has the coolest nickname ever, Money Badger.
Money Badger, very
good.
But
I'm looking at him yesterday as he's coming off the field, you know, just kicking, you know, 5 field goals, 6 field goals. I mean, he kicked them all. And I'm looking at him like, God, that he's a kid.
Yeah, he's a kid. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
When did I start becoming that guy to look at other people and going, he's a kid?
I know, there's that point in your life where you're like, oh, God, I could be that guy's dad. I'm getting that old. Oh, my God. I could be in the stands wearing his jersey, cheering him on. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. That's sad that Brady could be the guy's dad.
That's right. And what was the other stat? Was Patrick Mahomes, he was born 21 months after the last time the Chiefs won a home game.
Oh, a playoff home game.
And I said, that's a weird stat to just kind of figure out. But at the same time, it's kind of an awesome stat.
When was the last time the Chiefs won a playoff game at home?
21 months before Mahomes.
Before Patrick Mahomes won. I got you. Okay.
I don't know. Okay.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
It was like 90s.
Yeah. I remember one of them was Joe Montana beat the Steelers in 93. I don't think it was that old, but yeah. So I remember that one. Ageless Joe Montana leading the Kansas City Chiefs to a victory over the Steelers. But this is, I mean, I loved it this week. I love the storylines now coming out. And again, I hate when certain teams lose, and I think it's tough for Houston because they had a really good team and it felt really good. Like they were going to be able to pull something special. And it goes to show you again, this is what this league does, which is really great, is, you know what? It still gives you enough to play for at the end of the season. These things really matter. Think about where the Texans would be had they just held on to that second seed in the AFC and had a first round bye in a home playoff game. And instead, nope, they had to play the first weekend against a red hot Indianapolis Colts team. I don't know if they'd go to the Super Bowl because of it, but I do know that, you know, this is a big deal. It's such a big deal that the Patriots, you know, with a chance to play for another AFC championship, just need a home win with a week off. And that's just the storylines coming in. Nick Foles, right? Just continuing to write a story. If you're in Philadelphia, I don't know how you put in words what Nick Foles means to your football team.
Oh, they have the words. We just can't say them.
We just can't say it. He means everything to that football team right now. I mean, it's like, oh, you, He's like underdog. He's like shoeshine boy, right? You're going to run into the thing and turn an underdog.
No,
or Clark
you know,
Kent.
Disney
he's
writers,
fantastic.
Disney writers are foaming at the mouth right now.
Can't wait to get this guy's story on film. Are you kidding? Can't wait. SB Nation AM, Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation Radio.
Are you wearing your hat too much to cover that hairline?
Well, yes. Yes, I am.
Go to forhims.com/cheer for help. That's forhims.com/cheer. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, what was the most surprising outcome of the weekend in the NFL playoffs? What was the one game that made you stand up and go, ooh, okay, I've got to pay attention now. 800-777-2907. Colts are out after missing a field goal towards the end. Dallas beat Seattle. I thought Dak Prescott played a pretty good game. He looked pretty good in this one as they the Cowboys get 137 yards rushing from Ezekiel Elliott. They'll go on to face the Rams. Amari Cooper at 106 yards receiving. That obviously is working out. Prescott was pretty decent. I mean, there were times where I'm not a huge Prescott fan, but I'll give him credit where credit is due. Found the sidelines really well. Moved the team pretty good. Didn't get sacked much. So the Cowboys move on to advance. I did think Seattle was going to pull this. I thought Seattle was just slightly better than Dallas, and I would have given the Cowboys maybe the edge at home. But I did like the way Seattle was playing in this one. But they credit the Cowboys. Now they go on to face a Rams team that's kind of waiting and kind of figuring out who they are. I wonder if the time off is getting the Rams a chance to kind of recharge the batteries, if you will, to take on a Cowboys team that's going to be on the ground with Ezekiel Elliott in this one.
Yeah, but I just go back to that game against the Saints.
Yeah.
You know, their defense showed up and just shut them down. The Rams, to me, there's a serious issue with the Rams right now, and I can't put my finger on it, that offensively they're not as explosive as they were.
No, and that's what I was wondering, if they've either gone back to the drawing board a little bit and tried to figure it out, or something needs to be reworked or whatever it is. But you're right, this is not the same team that we've been seeing.
Yeah, and so I can't help but get that feeling that this is going to be a field goal fest. Both of them have really good defenses. Both of them really, really, you know, tighten up when their opposing team gets into the red zone. They're not really giving up a whole lot of end zones or touchdowns. And so I have a feeling that this might be a field goal fest, and who has the better kicker at the end of the day?
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be. And that swirling wind that Tony Romo keeps talking about.
Yep, that's right. That swirling wind that Romo keeps chatting. Oh, that's exactly right. I got to tell you, people always say things like, oh, this, you know, it's better when the Cowboys are, you know, in it. I don't know if that's true. I watch the Cowboys, and yeah, I know they've got the history of America's team and whatnot, but I didn't feel like I needed the Cowboys to be in the playoffs. I don't feel like I need that at all. I think Seattle was a good story because they had this football team for a long time that was being, if you're going to look for another dynasty in the NFL, this would be it. Look how good they are defensively.
They had a
young quarterback,
dynasty.
Right? Marshawn Lynch. It looked like everything was going to be clicking. It looks like they were going to win. They almost won back-to-back Super Bowls with a stupid play call at the goal line against the Patriots. And they, you know, that would be, whatever, however you would build off of that. And this is a season, this was a year where they changed it up and still were a very good football team. No, they were not 13-3 or 14-2, and no, they didn't dominate, but they were a good football team. And I thought that I think the NFL would have been totally fine if the Seattle had won that game. I don't think it necessarily needs Dallas. You know, it's fun to have the Cowboys in because I know they have lovers and haters, right? I mean, it's very, very few people are apathetic or, you know, in the middle of the road when it comes to the Cowboys. So you're going to get a lot of that coming up this weekend and pretty much all week leading up to the game.
Yeah, no, but the NFL would have been happy with the Seahawks because the two storylines would have been, hey, you're playing against a division rival in the Rams. Actually, no, they wouldn't because they were the fifth seed, right?
Right.
Yeah, so they would have.
I think, yeah, they
would have either played the division rival in the Rams or had the Eagles not won, if the Eagles had.
Yeah, given that the Eagles won, that's the matchup you'd have gotten.
Then you would have had Seahawks against the Saints.
Yeah.
Which is that, you know, that how many times would we have seen the Marshawn Lynch run against the Saints?
Ah, very true.
Over
That's right.
Again.
Yes.
So, I mean, there would have been history either
7-9 Seahawks.
Yeah, there would have been history either way. And either way, it was like, you know, it would have been a compelling matchup. Can they do it again? Then the Seahawks, it's a team bunch of no names. Really, I mean, outside of Russell Wilson, you really can't name a whole bunch of people on their team that have played all season long. I mean, we know that there were storylines. What was it, Earl Watson getting congratulated by the other team as he was exiting the field this year on a stretcher?
Yeah.
You know, right. Like certain little storylines like that, like, oh, man, this is a dysfunctional team that somehow found its way together to, you know, make a good playoff run. And they were in this game. They were in it.
They were that was one of the worst onside kicks I've ever seen in my life. How do you do that? Like, what strategy does that work?
I
hate onside kicks. I don't know the physics of it. Like, I don't. There's no strategy for it, right? There's like you just throw it out there and hope that they miss.
Kick 10 yards and see if you can get there before they do.
Nothing's worse than when your team has to kick an onside kick. You know it's going to fail. It just doesn't work. And when it does, you feel like you've been given a gift from the football gods because they're so rare. But when you got to give, at least if you're – okay, so let's say you're a Seahawk fan, right? And you're sitting there and you know your team's going to kick an onside kick. All right, I hate them. I don't think they're going to work. They never work. All right. But at least give a kick that's got a chance.
Well, I mean,
at least put a kick on the ground, have it bounce around a little bit, not a pop up in the air that's caught.
Well, that seemed to be a great way to do a kick, if you really think about it. Because if you're able to only limit it to about 10 yards and you're able to pop it up in the air, then it becomes a jump ball. And once
if you can get down there quick enough.
Well, yeah, if you can get, but I'm saying, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you were almost able to punt the ball up. And get people so there's like, you know, almost it's almost like a NBA tip off at that point. Because once it's past 10 yards, if it hits the ground, it's still a live ball.
And you can you can catch it in the air if it goes 10 yards.
No, I'm saying if, you know, if somebody just tries to knock it down or, you know, everyone, you're going to try to catch it. But as long as it's gone 10 yards, it's a live ball. Anyone can get it. But that one went like 20, 25 yards.
Yeah, it went deep and it was caught. And it was caught. The guy had nothing around him. He could have dropped it and recovered it.
I thought for sure. It's like, hey, you know, stand up, start running a little bit more. Come on, man.
Yeah, move a little bit later.
But when I first saw it, I was like, you know what? That actually is a decent idea. Maybe maybe a team will look at it. Probably Belichick will look at it and go, you know what? Let's work on this play. Because as long as that ball is 10 yards, and if you were to kick like 20 yards up in the air, 50 yards up in the air, you know, somehow, some way, and just allow your team to kind of run and post up underneath it, it becomes interesting then.
If the Cowboys beat the Rams and the Eagles beat the Saints, the NFC Championship game is in Jerry's World.
Wow.
All right. So, yay. Imagine that.
That'll make Jerry
great.
Happy.
Oh, no kidding.
I don't see the Eagles beating the Saints, though.
I don't either, man. I don't either. You know what's funny is my son's a Cowboy fan, and I was telling him he's all excited about their win, and I just said, this is a little dose of reality. The Saints, I know I talked about this last week. I said the Saints are really good, and the Saints are home. And I know you beat them, and I know you're confident, but the Superdome is such a loud, loud place, and it's going to be very difficult for any team, I don't care who you are, to go there and win. I don't think the Eagles are going to go there and win. I don't think so. But then again, who am I to write the Nick Foles narrative?
Hey,
the story of this guy?
I wouldn't have said the Eagles would have marched into Soldier Field with a victory.
No,
I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought for sure, you know, it's like I didn't really have a whole lot of trust in Trubisky, but I had a lot of faith in that defense. So that defense is going to shut them down. They don't really have an established running game anymore. Their running backs are hurt. You know, we're relying on Nick Foles to have some magic one more time. I didn't think that was going to happen. And for most of the game, it looked like it wasn't going to happen.
If Foles goes to New Orleans and wins this game,
statue time.
Do we start? I mean, yeah. What do we do? I mean, what do we do? Like I said this last week. I don't think Nick Foles has to lead this Eagles team to a Super Bowl victory. If he just gets a couple of playoff wins under his belt, just a couple, to just give Eagles fan like, oh my God, this guy, what are we doing?
Let's start the NFC Championship.
Absolutely.
That's where you just sit there like, okay, decision time. Do you just move on from Carson Wentz. Because for some reason,
I don't know if you,
Foles plays
how do you
well
get rid of this guy?
Because he plays well in for Philadelphia.
Yeah, how do you do this if you're Philadelphia, if you're the Eagles and this guy does this again? How do you just?
Are you saying if he becomes
I don't know what you
Super
do.
Bowl MVP, back to back Super Bowl MVP?
I get it. Logistically, it can't happen, right? Carson Wentz is your starter. He's your guy, and
he's
Foles is going to be a free agent. You cannot pay this guy the money it would take to keep him. But has any team gone this crazy with a backup quarterback before?
I mean, look at it this way.
I mean, listen, you're willing to give up your backup quarterbacks. Usually you are willing, even if they're good, even if they provide, you're willing to give them up. You know, thanks for everything. Thanks for all you've done. Reality is we're all set. Reality is we'll find another guy. Because they don't win Super Bowls for you or lead you to the playoffs or lead you to a playoff victory on the road. I mean, it's not. I mean, look, you usually get a backup that comes into the season, plays pretty decently. It's over, and then they get a deal, and life is good, whatever. Or they blow it, and we never hear from them again. But what he's doing in this back-to-back years of taking over for Carson Wentz and then turning that opportunity into success, playoff success. He went on the road and beat the Bears. And now he's going to New Orleans, and they got a puncher's chance. But I mean, I don't know if they've got the same ability to beat a team like the Saints at home. But if he does this, I've never seen a backup quarterback story like this, where he's got a team, helps lead a team to a Super Bowl and the next year an NFC Championship game. I mean, if he gets him to the Super Bowl, forget it. I mean, forget it. You got to have some sort of conversation. I wonder what they're thinking in Philadelphia right now. I mean, just the idea that what this guy has done is incredible. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. Again, 800-777-2907. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Your thoughts on NFL weekend, your thoughts on the wild card slates and the games that are coming up in the divisional rounds, including the Patriots. How badly do you want the Chargers to win? Are you okay with more Patriots in our lives as the playoffs continue? It's SB Nation AM.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by our friends at Jeep. Well, it's a new year, and I hope 2018 was good to you, and I hope 2019 will be even better. You know, there are a lot of things in this world you can't control, and only a very few things that you can control. And what you can control is you and your attitude, because it seems like we tend to let the things we can't control get to us, and I'm guilty too. Ever had a tough day and you're sitting in traffic waiting for that gap so you can pull out? And then when the other driver sees you, instead of speeding up and cutting you off, they let you in. Sometimes it's a simple, kind gesture that can really make somebody's day. Since we start off the new year with a clean slate, why don't we all resolve to drive a little kinder? You know, it doesn't cost you a penny to show kindness to other drivers. I know I plan to do better this year, and I hope you guys do too. Have a great 2019. This is Mike Herzing. Let's Talk Wheels are brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
Choose a new path this year at the Jeep Start Something New event, where you'll find great deals are just the beginning of the great adventures. Make a grand entrance in the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, because a brand new year means you deserve a stylish new look. And nothing looks better than confidence, which you'll find plenty of in the Jeep Compass. With over 70 standard and available safety and security features, if it's a new peak you're looking to conquer, find the SUV recognized for reaching the top in the Jeep Wrangler, awarded the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Or, if all you need is a getaway, start your road trip in a Jeep Cherokee with up to 31 mpg highway. But no matter where the new year leads you, start it with a great deal at the Jeep Start Something New event. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to SB Nation AM.
on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, national championship game tonight, Alabama versus Clemson. I don't think they've sold out yet, Ron, have they? Do we know any if good tickets are still available for tonight?
I'm almost positive that there are.
At the very least,
I could guarantee that there are tickets available.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Santa Clara, California.
So terrible.
Oh, college football fever. Catch it.
So how many sections will be tarped?
That's what I want to know. I want to know how many, the Goodyear blimp flying overhead. Gives us the aerial shots.
Did they scramble as quickly as they can to find decorative tarps?
What if they gave away the rest of the tickets? Let's give them to church groups and, orphanages.
Give it to
Paradise. College football games.
What was that city? Paradise?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's a great point.
Good faith.
Give them some tickets over there. At least fill the place.
Yeah.
God, I can't believe it. It's so funny that the main conversation about this game is nobody wants to go. Poor college football. It comes up with this playoff idea. Okay, you guys want a playoff? Here's a playoff. And then we're like, no, it stinks. And we'll try to think about expanding it. But anyway, our game is going to be between the number one and number two teams in the country. Anybody want to go? No, we don't. Oh, okay. Well, we'll figure it out. Gosh. I have a friend of mine. She flew out there to her family, big Alabama fans. She flew out there with her family. I was like, God, what kind of trip is that? Luckily, you know what's lucky, though? She's probably thinking, this is the cheapest Alabama ticket I'm ever going to have to pay for in my life.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking
right?
at
Even
the price.
At Tuscaloosa, I probably can't get in for less than $150.
This is crazy.
Dirty to buy one, get six rows free. Oh, God. Roll Tide Clemson tonight. This will be great. Two teams.